When I was growing up in Northwest New Jersey, the worst thing you could say about another synagogue was, "Oh, it's such a fashion show." And one of the best things you could say about a congregation, which we would say about ourselves, and it was true, is, "Oh, the people are so down to earth, it's so not a fashion show." Of course, the idea that a synagogue could potentially and negatively be a fashion show doesn't mean that we value people dressing sloppily or inappropriately in services. God forbid, this is TBS. Instead, the inference in the comment that synagogue is a fashion show is that the group seems to value wealth, status, and appearance over substance. A fashion show synagogue is one where the feeling is that many seem to be there primarily to see and be seen, to judge whether other congregants are dressed in the most upscale of clothing and accessories, and not primarily to connect with God and community and Jewish values. So it seems odd that our Torah portion this week goes on for pages about the fashions of the high priests, the special group, descendants of Moses' brother Aaron, whose religious duty is, at that time, to offer sacrifices and connect with God for the sake of all of the people of Israel. And what garments and accessories they were. So on the front cover of your service folder is a very simplified version of all their various clothing items. They were actually much more grand than this. And I will, as a sidebar, I did see that Walmart had on their website apparently a Halloween costume, which is a Kohen Gadol, a high priest costume. So I had to put that in your service folder too. So that's on the inside. What a beautiful priestly outfit it is. 8 awesome and luxurious pieces. I don't even think a Wilshire Boulevard temple in LA or a Temple Emmanuel in New York could compete. Precious gems and gold frames on a breastplate. Gold, blue, purple, and crimson yarns. Fine twisted linen. Braided chains of pure gold. Golden bells and pomegranates all around the hem. Finely embroidered sashes, all created by the most gifted artists that could be found. A regal fashion statement indeed. You may be asking, well, why? Does the Torah give us reasons for this? Well, the Torah actually gives us 2 different reasons for this very special priestly attire. It says, 1, it is Lechavod ul tifaret, which some of you may recognize from the Haftarah blessings if you've had a bar bat mitzvah within the last few years. Lechavod ul tifaret is for honor and for beautiful glory. That seems to make sense. The garb is like a priestly power suit. One would certainly know you were in the presence of greatness and holiness and grandeur if you were to see someone in this dress strolling through the courtyard before the tabernacle or before the holy temple. Torah reason number 2 from Exodus 38. Aaron shall wear the golden bells all around the hem of his robe so that the sound is heard when he walks into the sanctuary before God, when he walks in the sanctuary before God, and when he walks out, so that he may not die. Well, that got heavy real fast. And if any of you ever watch the Real Housewives franchises on Bravo TV, you know that wearing the wrong accessory might get you shunned from your social group, but it usually is not a capital offense. So these 2 reasons are the only ones that appear in the Torah for why this incredibly elaborate clothing ensemble must be worn by the high priests. But as I often tell my students in class, Torah is not equal to Judaism. Torah is our precious earliest collection of stories and values, but Judaism is how our leaders and our people and our rabbis and our teachers have interpreted and lived and understood Torah over many centuries into our modern day. So through the centuries, not surprisingly, there are a number of interpretations of God's fashion requirements for the high priests, even though we are a heritage that generally rejects a focus on outward appearance. As it says in the biblical book of Samuel, people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And in this one teaching from Samuel, people look at the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart, we get our answer. We are not God. The ideal for humanity would be to only see what is inside. As we learned from an early rabbi, Elisha ben Abuye, don't look what's on the wine jug, judge it by what's inside. Which is not how I pick wine at Trader Joe's, but pretty tree. People are not God, and we human beings live in a world of the material, of the tangible, a world where sight and sound play a large role in how we understand the world. So the priestly garments are necessary for human beings to understand the great holiness and grandeur of the priestly task, connecting with God through offering prayer and sacrifices. It is the people, not God, who need a reminder in our material world of our responsibility to join the community and lift up the holiness in all of our lives. Some of our Jewish commentators have noted the heft of the priestly garb. The weight of the gold and the stones hang heavy on the priest's shoulders, not just physically, but spiritually. The special clothes, the heavy accessories, may signal to the high priest that all of Israel needs him to be responsible, to follow the correct procedures, to carry out his task with the correct kavanah, with the correct spirit and intention, to serve as an ethical role model. The weight of the people's relationship with God rests, quite literally, on his shoulders. And what about the sound of the bells that are heard when he walks? Now, we did hear in the Torah of the risk of death if he does not hear them, and I don't know if this was actually something they believed in the times of the Torah, but certainly Jews from that later time and onward did not think this was necessarily a capital offense. But did understand that there was something very, very important about the priest wearing these small, delicately crafted bells on the bottom of his garment. So some compare the tinkling of the bells when the priest enters and exits the presence of God to the blast of a trumpet when someone is brought in, escorted in to a king on a throne in a palace. When you come into the presence of great holiness, you need to be announced. The bells could have been simply a sign of great respect, as in those times may have been shown to a king, or maybe a queen too. One last interpretation that comes from the rabbis of the Talmud, each piece of clothing actually makes atonement for something that item is similar to. So in other words, the priest gains forgiveness for himself, and some might say for all of Israel, by wearing that particular item. So example, his turban piled high atones for being arrogant or acting high and mighty. The beautiful tunic, similar to the multicolored coat of Joseph, given to him by his father Jacob, atones for and protects against bloodshed, bloodshed like that in the story of Joseph in the Torah. And the bells? Some say the bell, sounded by the clapper hitting against the side walls, is like a tongue clicking in the mouth. The bells help gain forgiveness for lashon hara, using our words for gossip or for hurt. There are many interpretations through the centuries for all of the priestly fashion items, but what does it mean for us? Is there a lesson here that we can take away? There has not been a temple priesthood in Judaism since the year 70, but our Torah teaches we are a kingdom of priests. The Jewish community has the responsibility to be holy, to live godly Jewish values, to carry our world forward in a positive and loving way. It is now on us. As if to put a highlighter mark through this point, it is interesting that this is the only Torah portion, so this portion, Tetzaveh, it's the only portion in Exodus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy that does not have Moses' name in it. It's almost as if God is speaking not through Moses, but directly to us. Just as the priests needed visual or auditory reminders that they have a responsibility to live as ethical role models, doing their best to make solid Jewish choices and living Jewish lives, so do we need to think about our reminders. What helps each of us remember to not just do what is easy in the short term or that works in the short term, but to do instead what brings goodness in the long term? What reminds each of us to live good lives? Is it maybe seeing a picture of parents or grandparents, looking in the eyes of a child or hearing his or her voice, seeing Shabbat candles glowing on a kitchen counter or on the stand in our own sanctuary? Is it perhaps a sentimental keepsake from a very respected friend or family member? Is it sitting in our beautifully decorated sanctuary, hearing ancient prayers and singing joyous songs? Maybe it's reading a real or online newspaper in the morning and knowing that our world is in need of each of us. Is it looking in the mirror in the morning and wanting to look again that night, knowing you have a clear conscience? I believe one message of this week's Torah portion is that we need to determine for ourselves what is a physical reminder that each of us has to remind us that we have a responsibility to serve with godly values each day. Not to do what is expedient, but what is right. To do good not because it brings reward, but because it is what we do. Remember that our early rabbis pictured the priestly clothing as a way for the priest to gain forgiveness for making normal human mistakes? Just as the priests were not expected to be perfect, we are also not expected to be perfect. It is, however, the expectation that we are aware of our mistakes and that we learn from them. And remember, the bells don't sound when a priest talks the talk. The high priest's bells only sound when the priest walks the walk. May each of us remember that it is our task to walk the priestly walk, as we are a kingdom of priests. We also remember that with great honor comes responsibility. Ken Yiratzon, may this be God's will.